Hey, I'm giving you some
Oh,
example of tagging right after my group. Let's learn Abaisa, let us begin. Okay, we're up to page 158.
man.
And let's even try if we can be successful. I would really like to finish the Mizmor today. That would really be nice. Possible to be a possible on the test. And but same below you M Chotzein. Below Yuchulukum. Okay, we're up to possible on page 158. 158. The pasuk here says, "Emchotzeim, I will shatter them, and velo yuchalu kum, they will not be able to stand. Yipalu, they will fall tachas ragloi, and they will fall beneath my feet." Let's see pasuk. Let's maybe do a few something together. Pasuk mem, vata azreini chay lanuchama. Again, we have the same expression we had before. Hashem, this is a repetition, where Hashem he girds me with strength for war. Tachriya kamay tachto, he bends, he humbles those who rise up against me before me. The oyevai, with regard to my enemies, masatli erif. Okay, you've given me their nape. Their nape means the back of their head. O misanai atzmi same. I cut them down. My enemies. Hashem, you have given me the power to cut them down. We'll review this in one moment. Yishavu v'ed Moshiach al Hashem v'loy onam. And this is very interesting. They cry out, and Hashem does not. And Hashem does not save them. Al Hashem v'loy onam. So here is very bizarre. We hear the similar reading of the pasuk indicates that my enemies are crying to Hashem, and Hashem is not going to answer their prayers. That's very interesting. That David is a very religious person, and he knows that Hashem does not deny prayer. And here he's discussing his enemies that are crying to Hashem, and Hashem is not going to answer them. We have to see this in a moment. Even though they cry out to Hashem, but still, how could David take pride in the fact that there's enemies? The enemies are not going to be. Hashem is not going to answer their prayers. We'll see. The esh chaken ka'afar al pnei ruach David. It says, "I will grind them up like dust upon the wind." Kitit hutzais arikay, like dust that you throw it into the street. I will pour them out. Okay, there's a lot going on over here. Let's go get the similar stuff and post on the test and the two stuff.
By the way, he uses the enemies three expressions: kamai, oivai, umisanai.
Multiple uses. There are many enemies in this
there's
world.
Some poet.
Republicans, Democrats, rhinos, independents, all different types of people out there that you think are your friends, and they turn on you, and you're shocked to and you're shocked to realize what it really all about. Let's see, Pasuk Lamed Tes. This is in the Tzuda Sava. You said a very good point. It's true, in life there are many, many different types of enemies. Enemies come in all shapes and forms, stripes and stars. You name it, they're out there. Let's see, Pasuk Lamed Tes in the Tzuda Sava. In fact, there is no, because this is here, somehow we're on vacation. He must have went on vacation during this time when he learned this book, because he writes over here very little on these Pesukim. Okay, so there is no Mitzvah Stavid, and in fact, there is no Rashi. This pasuk is a real loner. It's a chaval to this pasuk. And Chatzim, I will cut them down. Because there is a Mitzvah, that we say at least in the Mitzvah Siyon, at least he tells us the word Chatzim in Chabura, u'ma'akok mo'chatzra. The word Chatzim means to make a wound, a Chabura. In Lakewood, they have Chavurois. In America, we have chaburas.
Chaburas,
yeah. A chabura, oh, yeah. With a base, with a dogish chabura is a wound, is to hit someone. When you in Lakewood, they unfortunately, there are a lot of expressions which are incorrect. They have chavu. They go, I go to this one's chabura. You don't go to this person's chabura. You go to this person's chavura with a vase. A vase means a group. You attend his group session. A chabura means chavua in America. What does it mean? A douche? Commune. Okay, I don't know that. Maybe a chavura means a group. A chabura means a wound. It means a wound. Okay, so here it says, "Em chotzeim v'lo yuchlu." I will smash them. I will wound them, and they will not be able. Lo yuchlu kum, will not be able to rise. Okay, yiblu, they will fall tachas ragloi. Okay, interesting. There is no There is not much mafarshim on this pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk. The pasuk, you know, it's in contrast. You know, think about this pasuk. Lo yuchlu kum. We have a principle. Sheva pamim yipol tzadik v'kum. With regard to tzadikim, it's a very, very basic principle that a tzadik will always rise up, no matter how many times he falls down. Sheva pamim yipol tzadik v'kum. A tzadik, he falls. You learn the lessons of why you fell, what happened, and v'kum, you arise once again. In contrast to the tzaddikim, who can rise up even seven times, the rishaim, v'lo yuchlu kum, they are unable to rise. They will never, even on the first shot, the first time they're injured, they're down and out. Kalvai. Unfortunately, we see wicked people, they are many, many gilgula, unfortunately. Some of these very wicked people out there. Next, let's pass it mem. But as Reni Chayla Motimot Tachnia Kama Tachtoi, pass it mem, is there a Mitzvah, there is Math, is there a Rashi? There is no Rashi. What does it say over here? Let's see what it says over here in the Radak. Okay, it's a shame to go with, read a pass without any commentary. But as Reni Chayla Azarta Mosnai B'chayil V'koyach, he had burdened my loins with Chayla V'koyach, and they have not faltered, but they, my enemy, have faltered, and they have pulled before me. Okay, so this is like a contrast to what we had before. Let's take the pasuk Mem Aleph, the Oivai, with regard to the enemies, Masati, you give me the Oref. What is the Oref? The Oref is the back of the neck. The Oref is where you put the Dalet, the Kesher Shel Tfilin. The Kesher Shel Tfilin, the Dalet goes on the Oref. The Oref is a bone. It is the bone that sticks out in the back of the head, the bottom of the skull. Okay, and under the bottom of the skull is a cavity. The cavity is not the correct place to put the kesher shel tefillin. For whatever reason, some people, the ritzuos, do not fit. Today, we have mentioned this many times. Today, we wear tefillin that are double the size of what they wore, our ancestors wore. And the ritzuos today are approximately double as wide. So when your tefillin are double as big and your ritzuos is double as wide, it's very, very hard to fasten the tefillin where the kesher shel tefillin should go on the bone that sticks out in the back of the person's head. And many people, they put the dalet there, the tefillin gonna fall off. So they have no choice but to put the dalet a little bit below, some people go so low to put in the cavity below. It's not obvious, many people don't have a choice. That's called the Oref. The Oref is the back. So here, what does the meaning of here? It means that the enemy is in retreat. When the enemy is showing his Oref, it means that he is running away. When you run away, you make it the back face, you turn around 180 degrees, and you run. So the expression, my enemy has given me the Oivai Nosatali Oref. Hashem, you have given me his Oref. This is an expression which means that my enemy is in retreat. He has made a 180 and he is running away. And when I look at my enemy, what do I see? I see his nape. I see the back of his head because he is in retreat.
It's like Opa also. Opa. She left no me.
Excellent. She turned. Kalman is saying the mother is very big deal. She's saying something I never before. He's saying that the reason why Opa.
Oh, that's the reason.
Rus and Arpa. Everything is in the name. The name is Miramis on everything. The fact that Arpa was called Arpa, Miloshon Oref, is an indication that she retreated. Arpa's essence, the essence of Arpa, she is in contrast to Rus. The Rus Dovkobo, Rus cleaved to Naomi. Arpa, just the opposite. She made an about face, a 180, and she separated, she fled, she departed. And her departure was obviously rooted in something very evil, because who came from Arpa? Goliath, Yishu Benoit.
That's a different drasha.
I know what you're saying. It's rated R. And Michal is referring to a rated R drasha, that the word Arpa is a word that's related to this woman had was a zoina in the worst way. What? Okay, that's another pshat. This is a rated G share on my side. General audience. Okay, the oivai no parental consent needed to come to the shir. Ve'oyvai nosateli oyrech u'misanai atzim seim. My enemies, Hashem, you cut them down. The word atzim seim means to cut down. Okay, let's see. Let me listen. Here we have some Rashi on this. Rashi, let's see what's in this. Mitzuba is David. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Nosateli oyrech ki boruchu miponai ufonu elai oyrech. As we explained, they ran away. And when you ran away, you make a 180. And when they're running away, they're showing me the back of their head. Okay, what does Rashi say on this pasuk? Pasuk Memalek Nosateli oyrech poimimli orpam uvorchim. Exactly the same idea in the about face, and they run away. Let's go further. Pasuk Membeis. Pasuk Membeis. Yishavu ve'in Moshiach. This is a hard pasuk. Yishavu ve'in Moshiach. Al Hashem v'loy onam. Mitzudois David. Pasuk Membeis. Yishavu el Ezer malchei ha'adam. Because of the difficulty that this should refer to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Raj Mitzvah very importantly says they cry out to their kings. They call for assistance. They call for an alliance. Who are their friends? Who's going to come into our aid to help us? They're not crying to Hashem. They cry out, El, the Malchei, that's how the Mitzvah David says, El Malchei Hadama, El Hashem, Kumo El, then the Pasuk says, Yishavu to the kings of the world, Ve'in Moshiach, Al Hashem, Kumo El Hashem. He doesn't explain. El Hashem, the Goyim, our enemies, they cry to Hashem, but V'loi Onam, and they, Velo, and he, Hashem, does not answer them. Now, why not? When a person davens to Hashem, there's such a principle that a prayer does not go back empty-handed. I guess you have to say, on a very simple level, let's first the Rashi. Yishavu, lavod zara shalohem. Rashi is not like the Mitzvah stuff. Rashi goes to crying out to idols, and again, the Mitzvah stuff is said they're crying, they're giving an SOS to the nations of the world. Come help us, rescue us, provide assistance. We're under attack. And no one in the world could care less. That's the Mitzvah. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says they're calling out to idols, Avodah Zarah, Ve'en Moshiach, She'en Bo Yecholas. Of course not, because idols have no power to help.
Like Eliyahu Behar Karmel. Eliyahu Behar Karmel. He said to them,
doesn't hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the first words you have on this
Rashi? Ve'in Moshiach. Yishavu. La avodah zarah shelohem. What do you have in your text? He says another version. Commonly, he has another version, yeah.
Yeah, but
it says, Machishei HaTorah.
Machishei HaTorah.
Wow.
However, it said that was thrown into the censor.
That was the censors changed it. They changed.
They threw it in for the censors.
Instead of Avodah Zarah. Can you say something very interesting? Did the censors, did they change words or did they just erase?
Well, no, they changed. Says the words, those who deny the Torah are not found in any other
tradition.
They are apparently the result of censorship.
Okay, so the censors put those words. Okay, so there's another version which appears to have been a corrupt version of the censors that they don't want to say the word of the Zara. It's too insulting for them. So they change those two who deny the Torah. All right, same idea. They cry out to Avodah Zarah or anything that's similar. The Emoshiash and Echolas, the Cholishim, the Karim El Hashem. So Rashi is a lot more flavor. And when they realize that the Avodah Zarah does not help, then they cry to Hashem, and Hashem does not answer. Now this Rashi gives us a little bit of a flavor, the obvious question. I mean, it's the difficulty is still very great. We know we have a principle that a person does teshuvah, a person davens sincerely to Hashem, Hashem listens. David over here is making a statement that there are times when prayer does not work. It's a very frightening thing. There are times when you can pray with sincerity and it's not going to work. And this is an example. Why? It's not really so clear. But the only hint we have is, it's like Eliyahu Behar HaKarmel. Ad Mosai Ato Poseach Al Shnei Hasifin Im LaHashem Lufachrav. V'im LaBaal Lufachrav. You can't have it both. I don't know. And well, David, it's a general, it's not so clear. It's yes or no. Yes or no. Are we dealing with Jews? Are we dealing with Jews? It doesn't say. I mean, the Pesukim are by design ambiguous because it's both. There are Jewish enemies and there are non-Jewish enemies. There are Jews that are not religious for enemies. There are Jews that are very religious. There are
speak up. Hashem complaining that you pray to all the other gods, but you pray to Hashem. Like me. The last resort.
Hashem is insulted. Don't come and daven to me as a last resort. It's not going to work. You can't. It's insulting to Hashem. And even though you would think, oh, now we woke up, we smell the coffee, we realize that we have been mistaken, and it appears that in this context they do not. They are not sincere in their prayer to Hashem, because if they were sincere, they never would have turned initially to Avodah Zarah.
Rashi took it from the Targum. The Targum also says,
So let's do another few psukim, then we'll come back and do the Targum. Let's just do a few psukim more, and then we'll come back and review all the psukim and the Targum together. Let's just go further. Okay, so now the pasuk mem gimel the esh chokem ki afar apenei ruach, and after Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to grind them up like dust upon apenei ruach. I'm going to grind like dust, and I'm going to throw it to the wind. Like the eagle, okay, the eagle, by Yizoru Leruach, what do they do with the eagle? The eagle, they ground up the eagle, they threw into the water. I don't even remember what it is about the eagle. And what do they do with it? What do they do?
Ad asher dak ve'eshlech et afaro el hanachal ha'yored min ha'har.
Into the water.
he grinded them.
They ground it up, threw it into the water, and gave it to drink, like the bnei soita, right? So okay, so this is so here it says, but here it says that it was thrown al pnei ruach, like chametz is zoyre al pnei horuach. How do you destroy chametz? Either you burn chametz or you crumble up the chametz into dust and you throw it into the wind. So here it says that David is saying by his enemies, I'm going to grind them up, pulverize them, I'm going to throw them al pnei ruach ki tit chutzos, like tit. That's shachik atzmos, may his bones be ground into dust. May his bones rot. Okay, may his bones rot. Same idea. Let's see the mitzvah of David pasuk mem gimel. Okay, there is in Pesachah, okay, also like dust, it's dark, also they throw into the wind. I will pour. The word Arikim means to pour out onto the street. Set on some rake, Nicole Kitit. The word rake over here, he says, not what I say. I said rake means to pour. That's not what he says. Rake means empty. The habor rake, ain boy mayim, mayim ain boy. The choshen viakri of Yeshua. The word rake means empty. Okay, I always thought the word rake means to pour. Over here he's saying it means that I'm gonna make an empty Nicole Kitit Hamushlach that is empty, that is pulverized, the midoik, and is stepped beragli adam on the feet of man, and the wind disperses them, the nisha hamakam breaking, and then the mokoim where the dust it used to be is now rake. Okay, this is a very interesting shot in the pasuk. David says, "V'esh chokem ki'afar al pnei ruach." I'm going to pulverize my enemies like dust. I'm going to throw it into the wind, and they will be like kitit, like dust, mud, chutzos on the street, which is arikain. Arikain, I will make them into nothing. Arikain, I will make my enemies into nothing. How do you make something into nothing? You pulverize it into dust. You then throw it into the street. The wind comes and blows it away. And now it's gone. It's rake. Sanitation took it away. It's gone. Rake. The enemies, the mokoim is rake from the dust. So it's a process. You have an object pulverizing the dust is put into the street. The wind comes, blows it away. And now the street is rake, is empty from this dust. Rashi pasuk mem gimel. Vo'esh chokem loshon kis si shah. To pulverize, to crush. Harikem Kitit. And I see Rashi is what I am more familiar with. That's what I said originally. It means to pour. Raha noroik she'enoi off. So machloikis Rashi and the Mitzudais, the shoresh of the word Harikem. Does it mean reik as in empty, or does it mean noroik as in poor? Okay, what's the English word? What does it mean poor? Does it mean not a good English word? It's there's an English word that we something that is poor. No, there's another word. I remember it. No, that's what the Mitzudai says. Look at Rashi. Yeah. What is the shoresh of the word arikem? You just said empty. Empty is what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos. Rashi disagrees. Rashi means to pour. What? Evacuate? Oh, there's a word. There's a fancy word. A good word. Or whatever it is. Hanoroik means to pour. To pour. Liquid. She'enoi of. It's not thick. Something that is thick, you can't pour. You only can pour a liquid. You can't pour a solid. They were, see, here's Israeli saying, in this pasuk by the brothers, Yosef's brothers, they were challenged, they were suspects in the missing goblets. The goblet of Yosef was missing, and everyone they closed the borders. Who stole the goblet of the viceroy? And they stopped the brothers, and I always told them, and they emptied out their sack. They emptied out. It appears that Rashi says that's not what it means. They poured out their sack. Oh, you'll say there's grain. Grain is not something that is a liquid. Well, it is in a certain sense. If you're dealing with kernels of wheat, and you put into a sack, it flows like a liquid. They were pouring out their sack. Yes, the average person. What does it mean, this pasuk? The brothers, hey, Mary, Kim, Sakehan, they will tell you it means Miloshen Reik, Vehabor Reik, in their mind. They were emptying out their sack. No, Rashi says it's not what it means. In his opinion, it means they poured. It's a sack is full of kernels of wheat, and they poured out their sack like you would pour out a liquid. And as it's being poured out, lo and behold, look what they found. They found the goblet. The Yosef. Hey, Mirikim Sakeyam, Loy Hurak Mikliel Kli. This is much better pasuk. Hurak Mikliel Kli, to pour from one utensil to another utensil. Okay, we come away at least a very nice machlokes. A nice machlokes between Rashi and Rashi. Okay, between Rashi and the Mitzudais, does the word over here, the word rake, mean empty, or does the word rake mean to pour? Okay, so David was saying, I'm going, yeah. It's the same concept, obviously, the same concept, same idea, of course, just describe different ways to eliminate your enemies. Let's look at the Targum. Okay, unfortunately, my English translation of the Targum is not working today. I don't know why, what I did wrong, not to deserve an English translation of the Targum. I'll try one more time a different way. Let's see if it works this way. 18. Oh, here it works. Here now it does work.
Who does that? Who gives you the
translation? Safaria. Safaria. What? Okay, Safaria. Yeah, let's see if we have the Targum. The Targum will be a Pasik Lamites. Let's just some Targum will be very lightning. Erdoif Sinai the Ad Bekinun. Okay, easy. I will pursue my enemies, I will overtake them. Okay, we did this really yesterday, Paul. We did it yesterday. The Lord of this ad diga martinun. I will not finish. I will not return. I will not return to this was return until I finish them off. Pasik lamites aga marinun. The Lord Yachlin will come. Okay, I will aga marinun. Agamarion means I will finish them off. He translates it, if you notice, in Pasuk Lamites, he translates the word Emchotzein exactly the way he translates the word Kaloisam. This is a principle that we've had many times. We go in the afternoon, Rashi and Inkelis. We come across this many times, a very important principle in Targum. Targum he condenses the Hebrew language into a much smaller vocabulary. We always say this over in the afternoon, and that is that Lashon HaKodesh in general is a very small language. Go online and Google how many words are there in the English language, how many words are there in the Spanish language, how many words in the Russian, how many words in Latin, how many words in all different languages. You will discover many languages are very rich. They have thousands and thousands of words. Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language, is a very small language. In fact, it's one of the smallest languages in the world, Lashon HaKodesh. Rich. Each word captures an infinite amount of depth. Absolutely. That's why it's Kodesh. That's why it's Kodesh. Lashon HaKodesh is a very, very small language. The Targum has done something that is very shocking. He has made the language even smaller. Because very, very often when you have, he will translate two words, synonyms, with the same Aramaic word. He does it very, very, here's a case in point. Here this word kaloisam and the word emchotsem. Obviously, the fact that they have two different words, the word kaloisam and the word emchotsem, they're two different words. They're not the same. They're completely two different words. And it must be they have some very great depth differentiating between the two. And yet the Targum here, he translates both of these words literally back to back, exactly the same. This is very, very common in the Targumim. And this is not Unkelis, by the way. So you really can't compare. You cannot compare the Targum that we're learning today to Targum Unkelis, and you cannot compare Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel. There are many different Targumim. Okay, they operate, I'm assuming, with the same basic rules, but they're not all the same, obviously. There's a lot of an enormous amount of chokhmah, depth, and mesorah, kedusha in the Targum, but they do follow to some degree certain principles. And here you have a very important rule, critical rule to appreciate, that the Targum, he simplifies a language that already is simplified. He simplifies the simplified because it's a very small language. Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, is a very teeny language. Very few vocabulary words. The dictionary, Lashon HaKodesh, is not all that big. And he says, Targum says, guess what? It's too big. It's too big to print. You got to cut it down. Like the editor tells you, you submit a manuscript to an editor. It's too big. You got to cut it down. You got to take out words. Look at the Targum. End the pasuk, the last words, ad de gamar tinun. Look at pasuk lamed tes, agamari nun. Okay, agamari nun. It's the same sherish. It's the same, okay, it's the test, it's gemar. It's the same sherish gemar. Gemar means to finish off. Finished, no more.
The same sherish.
But this is exactly what that's exactly the point that I'm making. Obviously, when you look in the Malbim wrote a whole dictionary, a whole thesaurus telling you the nuances between the different words. Even a word like keves and kesev, a word like simla and salma, even those words, we know that there's a nuance of difference between them. When the Torah uses keves, it's not the same as when the Torah uses the word kesev. When the Torah uses the word simla, it's not the same as the word salma. Yet the Targum will translate it exactly the same. And even words that have completely different sheresh in Lashon HaKodesh, the Targum has a tendency very often to simplify and give us the exact same translation. This is an important principle. We talk about Targum. What is Targum coming to do? He's coming to simplify things. I mean, he's providing a commentary. There are a lot of things you can say. You write a sefer, all of the yesodas of Targum. This rates in the top 10 of what the Targum does. He simplifies the language by taking synonyms and translating them exactly the same. He does this over and over again in Chumash, Unkelis, and here's a case in point in the Targum over here in Tehillim. Next.
It's the same root of the word. Still, it's going to end up being, it's going to have a nuance of something.
So why then does the Targum give us the same exact word? That's exactly the point.
Minimized in the roots of the word.
That's Lashon HaKodesh. Right, that's exactly, that's Lashon HaKodesh. The Targum is not Lashon HaKodesh. The Targum is giving a translation. What is his agenda? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do we have such a thing called Targum to begin with? What is Targum all about? What's the whole purpose of having Targum? You don't know, you don't know. They didn't know Hebrew. They really, you know, it's very hard to understand. But they really didn't know Hebrew. The people, our ancestors, they really didn't know Hebrew. So they needed a translation. They needed the Targumon to translate. Really? You accept that? At face value? They didn't know what that pasuk meant. They didn't know. They didn't know what by Yidaber.
What's the question? The language of communication is Aramaic.
What language do you think?
Aramaic.
What language do you think in your thoughts?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
There's no question.
English. You think in English. When someone says to you the pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Limon, do you know what that means?
Okay, that's clear.
Translated into English.
Fine. So fine. Fine, translate in English. Fine. When you begin to think in Hebrew.
When you dream.
You dream.
Then you really
my brother disagrees with you. My brother told me, how do you know? When you understand the radio. When you can understand what they're saying on the radio.
I don't understand what they're saying in
English. Go in a taxi and you can understand what the guy is saying in the radio. That means you are right. A sabra. That's it. You've made it. You've made it to the club. Okay, in any event, this is a yesoid. There's a targum. Targum is not just giving a translation. It's very, very difficult to say that our ancestors were so ignorant of Hebrew that the only reason why there was a translation that they have on Shabbos, Shnayinik Targum, is because they didn't even know it's Greek. Really? It's Greek. They didn't go to yeshiva. They didn't have education. They didn't know. Today, the average person goes to yeshiva. He's a serious student. He comes out knowing some basic chumash. Can't say he's, you know, knows every word basic. So they also know basic. There's a lot more in Targum than just giving you a translation. There are major lessons, yesoidas. The Targum is telling us there are two words. It's right. You look in the Malbim, you'll find a world of a difference between the two words. But don't forget, they're synonyms. Don't forget, they're cousins. They're cousins. The Targum is working backwards. The Targum, you can do Targum is, you know, there are people out there that are so sophisticated, you can fool yourself. You can become such a genius. You go to such a degree that in your mind, yeah, the word
in this pasuk, it's very important. He had a question. That's why he added something. He could say, "Ve'lo yachlu kum iplu." Iplu has to come before lo yachlu kum, not lo yachlu kum, and then the iplu. So he says, "Ve'lo yachlin limkam unfaluk tilin, v'hem iplu harugim." And they will fall dead.
Okay, I didn't do that yet.
He added something.
Yes, of course. Okay, this is very common in Chumash also, the extra words.
Right,
let's read
right.
The Pasuk in Targum. Agamarinun v'lo yachlin limkom. Next. Unifalu, okay, so if I'm going to finish them off, and they're not going to be able to rise up. Now, yiplu, now it says, unifalu kitilin. Okay, extra words. They're going to die. They're going to fall dead. Doesn't just say that they're going to fall. The Targum over here is giving us a translation. He's telling us that when they're going to fall dead. Okay, let me just make sure I have over here the translation. I'm not saying over here. They're going to fall. Wait, I'm Wait, let me just say that one, the right place over here. Aramaic Targum, Pasuk Lamed Tes. I'm in the wrong one, sorry, that's why I'm in the wrong. Give me 1 second, please. Something over here is not right. All right, here it is, I got it, okay. And they're going to fall dead, okay? The Targum here is in the parish. When it says in the Pasuk below, it says, Yipulu, they're going to fall. They're not going to fall, they're going to die. Okay, the word over here is a more powerful word. Unifalu kitilin, dead. And then it says, Tachas raglo, as Rav Kalman pointed out, Techois beneath parsas raglai. The sole of my foot. What's the significance of that? I don't know. Next passage. Vizoreizto li, bata azreini. So we had that before. You're going to army. The word vizoreiz really means to arm. Like it says by Eliezer. It says by when Abraham found out that Lot was captured, it says by Yorok es chanichov. And the other Targum says vizoreiz, the same exact word, he armed weapons. Okay, so when it says here the word bata azreni chayil amil chama, it means I'm armed. My weapons have been loaded. The ammunition strapped on the weapons. It doesn't just mean that you put on a belt. It means you are armed. Your weapons have live ammunition. Live ammunition. You know, 9/11, you know what it means? Live ammunition. People are going to push it. What this means? 9/11, the United States supposedly was caught off guard to such a degree, and when the Twin Towers went down, when they both, and then they discovered there's a plane that is heading towards Pentagon. No, not the Pentagon, another plane heading towards Washington that's unresponsive. And then they realized that this plane is also part of this plan. So they immediately scrambled fighter jets. The fighter jets, these are the most sophisticated military pieces of equipment in the world. And they can launch nuclear missiles, these fighter jets. They didn't even have time to arm them. The fighter jets had nothing. They couldn't even shoot a bullet. There were no missiles, nothing. That's how off guard they were. And the most they can do, and this was what they were planning to do if it was necessary, is that the pilot would give up his life. The pilot, all the interviews, was going to be told that he should just basically crash his jet into the airplane and take it down by impact in order to save many more people on the ground, because if it would appear that the plane is going to crash into a building in a populated area, it can kill many, thousands of people. So it would be, anyway, people on the plane are going to die. So the president, it seems, was going to, this is the way it goes. The story, you can Google this, if I remember correctly, is the orders were, or they were about to give, or they were given, is that the pilot should crash his jet into the passenger plane to bring it down.
The Japanese did it, the kamikaze. The kamikaze
The kamikaze pilots, Japan, because they couldn't make a return flight. There wasn't enough fuel to make a return flight. It was a one way. There wasn't enough fuel to go back. What do you mean? You don't have weapons. You don't have missiles. You don't have missiles. These jets. No, we don't. They're not armed. And we never expected this to happen. So we didn't even prepare for such. We need a couple of minutes. Didn't have enough, even if 10 minutes, to go put some missiles on the jets to shoot down the plane without the pilot needing to give up his life. So here when it says the word, this idea about Azreini Chayil, that means you don't just have weapons. Of course, you have a whole arsenal. It means the ammunition is loaded. You're armed. You don't just have a bow now. The bow has been conditioned. You have cleaned it. You have prepared it. Your quiver is full of arrows. Vata Azreini Chayil means you are armed. The ammunition is ready to go. That's what it says in the Targum. Vizor reisto li chayla. You have armed me with strength. Heich komor. Komor means the belt. Just like this belt. He's getting a lot of interpretation into this passage in the Targum. Just like this komor lemebad puravah. just like this belt, you wrap around your strength, you put on your lemebad kirava, to engage in battle. The word kirava means battle. Then it says te varta amamaya, you broke, you have here it translates the word, you have tachria. Tachria, he translates as tivarta. Again, this is another example of the Targumist coming to simplify the language. When we like to take the word
tivarta,
it means to humble, defeat. That's not what it says in the Targum. The Targum, again, same principle. The Targum is simplifying the language, it means you break, you shatter. That's not what you would expect. The Targum is simplifying the language. Look at the word tachri as the same word as tivarta, is you break, you crush. There are many, many words in Hebrew that go under the umbrella of to break, to crush, to overpower. Amamaya, the koimin, which rise up, la'av oshali tichosai. Now, the word la'av oshali is a very interesting, another addition that the Targum is putting into the pasuk. The word la'av oshal means to do evil, to do harm. Okay, it means le'av oshal. This expression.
Vayiv ash hayo. Vayiv ash hayo. No.
It means rat. Okay, it means.
Yeah.
Rat. Evil. Evil. Rat. Right. People who are trying le'av oshal li tichosai. You went and you, the nations that rise up against me to do what? What are they rising up against me to do? They're rising up against me to do evil. You, Hashem, you bring them down before me. Pasuk Mem Aleph, Uvali Devavai. Now, another interesting translation. People that quarrel with me. And Oyev is someone that quarrels. We like to translate the Oyev as an enemy. He has a little bit more sophisticated translation than Targum. The people that quarrel with me, Te Varto. Again, to varta kodomai, you have broken from before me. You have tinun mechazre kidov. What does that mean? You have broken. Now, it doesn't even say those words in the pasuk. It doesn't say the word those words in the pasuk that my enemies to varta kodomai. Where does it say that? You have broken from before me. What it says nasatli oyef. That's the next words. You have tinun. What is a kidol? A tail. This is not what it says in what we are accustomed to. We are accustomed to the word oiref to mean the back of the head, the nape. Okay, the neck, the top part of the neck when you put the dalid of the tefillin. He says something that is very interesting. The word that you have given me, mechazrei kidol. The translation over here in the English is to turn. Mechazre means to turn. Kidol. He translates the word kidol as a tail. Okay, Esther had a tail, right? I mean, Vashti had a tail. The Nachash, Chazal tell us that Adam, what does it say? Adam originally had a tail. Is that what it says? It says they see this in an embryo. In a fetus, an embryo, it is a fact that when the person begins to develop in the vertebrae, a little microscopic tail grows in a fetus. And then as the fetus develops, somehow that little bone on the very, very bottom of the spine, it just falls off and dissolves.
It's the same as it.
Care, sorry? Done. It falls off and goes away. It's very, very interesting about this thing called a tail. A tail. You know, it's also very interesting. In, if I'm not mistaken, in male sperm under a microscope. Chazal talk about that. Every tipa of Zera has in it millions. Chazal knew this. How do they know this? Has in it millions and millions of potential portions, I don't know the exact terminology, which can be the one that causes the egg to fertilize and produce a human being. And that means, I mean, every single one of those little items, whatever they're called, will produce a person that has a very different personality. You look at a person, you know, you look at brothers, right? You have a family of 12. Every one of the brothers is very different, has a different disposition. Well, guess what? There can be literally hundreds of millions varieties of a person with different types of personalities. And Chazal say this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu selects the Ashkocha Prophets, which microscopic element of a tiba shel zera, from which microscopic element is going to be the one that will fertilize the egg to produce a human being, and that's going to have major consequences of what kind of person will come into this world, what he will accomplish, what will be his disposition, what his children, the next generation. In Shidduchim, you know, a girl might like this guy, but might not like the other 100 million versions of this person. Okay?
Not even the twin brother.
Not even the identical twin brother. So it's, Chazal say this. This is not something that I'm saying. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal obviously understood the science. Chazal the Hashkocha practice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoreh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for everything. Now, why am I telling you this? In these tipos, there are tails. And in fact, the most important part of these little tipos is the tail. It is the tail that they use to swim in the fluid. There are hundreds of millions of these little creatures. And they swim. And they have to be in the right position, the Hashkocha Pratis, to be the one that will fertilize the egg. How do they move? What is the source of their mobility? A tail. Okay, so we talk about that Zashi had a tail. And you talk about that Adam, Kodem HaChet, had a tail. So according to one of the Midrashim, that Chava was with Tzela, is really the tail. Hashem made Chava, fashioned Chava. How did Hashem, there are many different opinions. How did Hashem make Chava? Was it that Adam and Chava, they were attached like Siamese twins, back to back, and Hashem split them? Or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take a bone from the rib, a bone from one of the rib bones and make Chava, or the other Midrashim, there's all these different things, we don't know. I mean, Hashem took the tail of Adam, and the tail of Adam is from where Chava came. It is interesting that in the very beginning of reproduction, the tail of a sperm cell is critical. In fact, it is the most critical element of the sperm cell, because without that tail, there is no mobility, and there is no way for it to achieve its mission of fertilizing the egg. Now, David over here, according over here, we have something very interesting that called the Oref, which we like to refer to as the nape, the back of the head. And here the Targum is saying the Oref really is the kiddol. David, in his success, he says that the Shvarchu, you deliver my enemies before me, and they turn their tail. And you have tinun, you bring it about, that they turn their tail towards me when they flee. Obviously, this means where he doesn't say the word where they're running away. Rashi and the Mitzvah Stavi both said that when I defeat my enemies, they're afraid of me, and they make it about 180 and they run away. And when I look at them, what do I see? I see their oyas. I see the back of their head when they're running away from me. Targum says something a little bit different. After the Shvarchu, you bring it about that they turn their tail towards me. I don't know what that means. This son I ashet sinun, and my enemies you destroy. Now look at the contradiction. We have here a contradiction in the Targum. Here it says the word atznisein, and no, that's not a contradiction. I made a mistake. I thought it was the same word as emchotzein. It's a different, completely different word. Here we have the word my enemies ashet sinun. This word I think is the most popular word in the Targum, which means to destroy. Now this word many, many times in many different formats. Ashet sinun, the Targum loves this word. My enemies you destroy. Next pasuk, pasuk mendez, yishav. The word yishav means to cry. Be'an, bo'an. Be'usa, What are we saying? I don't remember. But the word Bo'an means to pray, to supplicate. So eight. Okay, so my.
Atam shamati mipnei nogsav. Bnei Israel b'Mitzrayim. Atam shamati mipnei nogsav. Shavatam.
Tiskabel, Uva Usan, very good. Tiskabel or Tiskabal, as some want to say, Tiskabel, Tsiloisoin, Uva Usehoin. What does it mean, the word Uva Usehoin? Uva Usehoin means their prayer. So here you have the same word, Bo'an, my enemies, they pray, So'ei. What does So'ei mean? Assistance. They pray for Sa'adia, okay? Sa'adia going. What does Sa'adia mean? Support. Sa'adia, support. Bo'an, so'ed of Chaim Kanievsky, he has a whole lot of that. He says that the first time we find the word Sa'adia, the earliest source for Sa'adia is of Sa'adia going. Because we don't find anywhere before the time before. Of Sa'adia going, how long ago did he live? About 1,000 years ago. A little bit more than 1,000 years ago, Rav Sadia Gaon, you find anyone in all of Chazal that had the name Sa'adia? He says, no, we don't find anywhere. It's the first
time. Was a name?
Yeah, obviously it's a name.
He probably said a lot of things before.
I know someone that had. What? The base of that name? I don't know, Rav Sadia Gaon. Of Sadi going to Bo'an So'ed, they request assistance. The less Lohoin Porik, and no one comes to redeem them. Mitzalan Kadam Hashem. This is Tziloi Sohoin. Tiskabel Tziloi Sohoin Uva Usehoin. Notice the order is reversed. When we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe this is the answer to our question. We asked this question when we started. We asked the question, how could it possibly be in this possible that our enemies are davening to Hashem and Hashem is rejecting their prayer? We know that Hashem never ever rejects the sincere prayer of a tzaddik, a person. So if the enemies here are our enemies, they are davening to Hashem, maybe that means they've come to see the light. They've come to realize they made a mistake and they're praying to Hashem. It's a religious experience. So we would expect that Hashem should go easy on them. Hashem should help them. Yet it says in here, prayers that Hashem rejects their prayer. So everyone is very disturbed. And that's why when we said it was Yishavu, oh, it means they're crying to Avod Zara, or they're crying to the Umos or to their friends. And that you can say when it comes to Yishavu, because Hashem's name is not mentioned. When it comes to the end of the passage where it says, Al Hashem, Yilke Vavke, there's no room to wiggle. Yilke Vavke means only one thing, to the Riboyna Shalayla. And it's a very difficult pasuk. Why then, if the davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, why then is Hashem indeed not answering? Deloy or not? So we have to give answer, and it's a very painful answer. Is too little, too late. Their prayer is insincere, or that it's like what it's Eliyahu Baharakano. Ad Mosay Ata Poiseach Al Shem Hasidim Hashem Bichlach and the Baal Pachas. You can't go. Hashem is not a savings account. You know, if you don't behave yourself, Hashem's not going to come to your assistance. He's coming to teach you an important lesson that Hashem indeed is not going to answer you. So I'm not thinking because of the Targum, and I do not know what I'm saying. I'm thinking out loud with you. Here's what my ask. He hasn't been in 2 days. He disappeared over my ask. You better find out what happened. So we have over here, everything in the document is in precise order. What's the order? Tiskabel, Hashem receive, Tse loy sehoin uva usehoin. Hashem accept our siloisoin, number one. Number two, uva usahon. What do those two words mean? I don't know. It means
bakasha.
Prayer. It means prayer.
No, but what comes in bakasha?
Right, in my limited vocabulary, it means exactly the same thing. I don't know the difference between the word siloisoin and uva usahon. It means my prayer and my prayer. Obviously, it has a different nuance, a different type of prayer. But to me, in my simple mind, I don't really have an appreciation of the depth of difference between these two different types of prayer. Now, when you look at this Targum, isn't it not interesting that you have to acknowledge the simple reading of the pasuk is that they're davening to Hashem. Rashi and the Mitzudos did is a chiddush, and because the question is so disturbing, they went out of their way to say that the beginning of the pasuk is referring to Avodah Zarah or to their friends, to their our other enemies, which is a chiddush because so Rashi and the Mitzvah solved half of the problem. It's very obvious. We got a problem here. We have enemies we're trying to eliminate, and all of a sudden they're davening to Hashem. Could you imagine Mohammed Samolik? Amolik all of a sudden starts davening, Ribbono Shel Olam, Chatos Yavisi Pashat. It doesn't fit the narrative of the way we look at Mohammed Samolik. Okay, it doesn't fit the narrative. You're killing Amolik, and all of a sudden they stop. Okay, they're starting to say Tehillim. What? Why it doesn't the whole thing is very unsettling because Amalek doesn't say Tehillim. Amalek, they don't believe in it. And that's why we're eliminating it. That's why we're destroying them. And here we're dealing with enemies, and all of a sudden, David says they daven to Hashem and Hashem doesn't answer them. Why are they even davening? I mean, what's going on over here? So Rashi and the Mitzvah is very disturbed, and they at least want to solve half the problem by slicing with a very sharp knife the beginning of the pasuk from the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says they're davening to Avodah Zarah, or they're calling the United Nations, come rescue us. So that's easy. Therefore, no one's going to come to their rescue. The Avodah Zarah is not going to answer them. Finish. But when you get to the end of the pasuk, you're in a lot of trouble because it says they're davening al Hashem, which Rashi himself says means el to Hashem, the loyonam. And Hashem does not answer them. Whoa, that's disturbing. So it's interesting to take note that the Targum does not say anything about Avodah Zarah, does not say anything about the Umayis Olam. He just translates the words, but he translates the words backwards from what we are so used to. Three times a day we say Tiskabel Siloy Sehoin Uva Usehoin. We go in order. Pesach is coming. Say there. You go to the Pesach Seder. Everything in Judaism is about order, precision. Seder. There is a Seder in Tzilah. And the Seder goes first, Tziloy Sehoin, and then comes Uva Usehoin.
Right.
I don't know what the order is, but it seems like it's important. And if the Goyim here are going backwards, maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe there's an indication that there's a corruption in their understanding of what prayer is all about.
Or maybe,
you know,
to the Avodah Zarah, maybe the Tzolei Zohin Hashem, unless you do both Hashem, it's not going
to be. Okay, I don't know, but this is just at least a remez, something to speak further. There are two words.
You know what it reminds me, when Carter came to Eretz Israel, President Carter, to make peace. So he went with the prime minister to the Kotel, and he put a kippah and he stood there and he prayed. So somebody asked him, why did you bring him here? Maybe his tefillah will be accepted. So he said, no, he's just talking to the wall.
He's talking to the wall. Very, very funny. Very, very funny. Very funny. Ba'an case, look at the order. Ba'an, so'ed, they made a request for so'ed. The less lohain parik, but no one answered them. Then nitzalan, it's ba'uson and tziloy sohain. The order was reversed. Kodam Hashem, v'loy mikabel tziloy sohain. Hashem did not answer their tziloy sohain. Pasik men gimel, v'esh chokem. We have a really nice, fancy, schmancy word here. Was vido shash tinun. What does this word mean? It means to crush. So all we know it means to crush.
Dosh.
Dosh, okay, dosh, to thresh.
Shows that the
Ba'usahon
is not.
Tikabel Tsiloisahon Uva Usahon. Right?
But the Ba'usahon
was accepted?
No, because that was to the Zara.
About the Zara. Right, doesn't mention Avodah Zarah. Over here, the Targum
is mentioned, but it's like somebody else.
The Targum is very generous here. He seems to be very generous in giving us adding more details. And over here, for some reason, he did not tell us exactly who they're pulling out to. They call out. Doesn't say to you, no one comes. No. There's no redemption. Bless Lohim is not to them porik, salvation. Doesn't say exactly in the Targum. It's ambiguous to who they are calling out to. Pasuk Mem Gimel V'Doy Shash Tinun. Dash means to thresh, to crush, to stamp on it. Heich, just like gargishto. What's gargishto? Gargishto is claws of earth. They have it in the Gemara, in fact. The Gemara says gargishto means a clump of earth. Al ampe zappa, along the face of the zap means a wind, a strong storm. The heich zappa means a storm. It means zappa doesn't just mean a wind. Zappa means like a tornado. He's adding his apnei ruach. Here means a very strong wind. The heich sion ashkokei v'oti sinun. And I have stepped. Okay, sion.
Kick them. I'll kick them.
Means the kick.
Be'ita is a kick.
V'oti sinun means the kick. Okay, it means the kick. And they are like sion. Sion is mud. No, so what is the heich sion? I don't know. He doesn't translate. Like, he's not over here. No, he did. What are the streets?
Ashkakei is a shuk, like mud. Arachov, shuka. Shuka is a rachov, the street. I like there is, like if I have something in my shoes, like teeth, I just kick it away.
The shuk is the street.
The street.
So you translate shuk. That the chutzah is ashkakei, the shuk. Go into the market.
Yeah. And there is a dirt in the street.
Mud. Sion translates as the mud of the streets. I will kick.
Yeah.
Arikain, we have a new translation because now we have, this is already the third translation for the word Arikain. We started with the chidush of the Mitzudas Dabur. But the word Arikain means rake. The habor rake ein boy mayim, to empty out. Then we came to Rashi. Rashi says the word Arikain means to pour. You pour a liquid, you pour out. I will pour them out. And now we come to the Targum. It says it means to kick. A new translation. Arikain, I'll give them a kick. You have mud on your boots. What do? You kick your boots on the ground to get off the excess mud on the sole of your foot. Let's now go to
the Ibn Ezra has another one. Ibn Ezra says, "Kmo parot harikot, harakot, haparot harakot."
Rakos is no means empty.
Rakot basar.
Rakos lean basar, which means rake. I think it means empty.
It's not
empty,
rake.
Empty. Okay, so empty to pour or to kick. Now we go to new pasuk mandala. Tefalateni may we lay on. Okay, let's read from something together for a few minutes. Tafalateni may we lay on. Hashem, save me. May we lay on. From the quarrels of the nation, to Sinemi Rosh Chayim, make me into the Rosh. What is Rosh? Rosh is a very hard word to translate. Who says Rosh means the head? Rosh can mean many different things. We'll see. Amlo Yodati Avduni, a nation that does not know me, they will serve me. Let's just look at this one pasuk right now. Let's see over here. What's over here in the route? The Mitzvahs. The Mitzvahs, David, Pasuk, Mem, Dalit. On page 160, may we vey on Nino Hamois Amin, save me from the wars of the nations. Now, this, if you want to go look at modern times is very meaningful what this means. Okay, the United States has a very big nisayon. Should we get involved in the war? There's a war going on between two major nations, Russia and Ukraine, Israel also. They're also conflicted. And the United States knows that if it gets involved, it's just going to get worse. At least they have enough safety to realize that. If they start getting involved and take side and start actually engaging in battle, and if the United States, a member of the military of the United States, injures, kills, destroys property or people from anything from Russia, that is in essence a declaration of war. And that will result in Russia striking back against the targets of the United States. So the best thing is don't get involved. You want to give the Ukrainians money? Good. So that's one thing. That's a lower level of engagement. And what about Eretz Yisrael? They're the worst situation. Because the Eretz Yisrael, on the one hand, needs America for everything to feed it. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. On the other hand, the one that's helping the Eretz Yisrael with intelligence regarding Syria and keeping Iran at bay is the Russians. The Russians are the ones that are providing Israel with the most assistance today dealing with the Iranians. So Israel is conflicted. On the one hand, they don't want to start with America, because America feeds them. On the other hand, America, although they feed them, this administration is not very helpful with regard to Iran. And the one that's giving them more assistance with regarding Iran, their major threat are the Russians. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you stay out of this? Ukrainians are begging the Israelis, please give us your iron dome. What? Okay, whatever it is. But over here, this pasuk, David HaMelech was mispalo for us from time immemorial. He saw this war and he said, Tifalateni me riveyam, spare us, prevent us from getting involved. Because it's a no-win situation, whichever side we take. And there's enormous pressure on both sides. Both sides are putting enormous pressure on the state of Israel to provide assistance, intelligence, and everything that comes with it. And each side says to the state of Israel, you owe it to us. We've been good to you. Putin's supposedly in very good terms with the Prime Minister.
He said
to
Biden, you should
end of the world. Okay, so David HaMelech was mispalel to Hashem, tifaliteni, spare me, may revey on. There are wars amongst the nations, mimotamois amen, spare me. Next part of the pasuk, tisimeni lirosh goyim v'yiyu muchnoim li v'lo yosif only lachem imadi. It's an entirely different principle. Allow me to be the head, Rosh here, according to the Mitzvah. This means the leader of all of the nations, and they will no longer, with regard to what, they will no longer fight against me, they will no longer attempt to harm me. And then the third part of the pasuk is even the most strangest part of the pasuk, Am lo yodati ya'avdun. Mitzvah, lo yodati ki hei me'eretz rechaykot. There's a nation that's far away, which we don't even know of. How could we not know of it? Today we know everything. They will come and they will serve me. Rashi, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Tifalateni miyudiyam sheloi eonesh bedin." That is incredible. This is a whole new world. Rashi is going off on a world of commentary. Rashi says, "Sheloi eonesh bedin or beriv Yisrael lahatos mishpat veloi l'shabed b'Yisrael yoser min harishus." Now, Rashi over here seems to be saying that going over in a whole different direction. David over here is discussing himself as a judge. David, what did David do most of the day? What do you do the whole day? People always like to ask rabbis, what do you do the whole day, Rabbi? When I was took a course in rabbinic training from the National Council of Young Israel, that was a very common theme that many rabbis spoke about, where the Balabatim don't appreciate them. And the ultimate fact or revelation of how much the Balabatim don't appreciate the Rabbanim is when the Balabas says to the rabbi, Rabbi, what do you do the whole day? What do you do the whole day? Just sit around and twiddle your thumbs? What do you do? Well, tell me your Seder Hayom. Exactly. So David HaMelech, what did he do the whole day? What did he do the whole day? He was a Dayan. Most of the day, Chazal said he sat in the court and people came to fight. They came with the Dinei Torah, and he was a judge. And he decided, Mishpat. That's what David did a good part. Certainly Shlomo did this, David did this. David was afraid that sometimes when it comes to performing a court case of Din Torah, I will decide unfairly. And David here is being Mispalo, Nirivei Om. Who is the Om? The Om here means Klal Yisrael. When they present themselves before David from Mishpat, and I have to make a decision, and it's very possible I will decide incorrectly. I will cause a loss of money to one party or cause harm to one party. David is mispal sheloi eonesh bedin. I should not be punished because I decided incorrectly in a din Torah in the capacity of a judge. Number two, the bedin Yisrael lahatois mishpat, to turn the law, the law in favor of the wrong person. Maybe I'm conflicted. Maybe I'm no gabadar. maybe I like this person for some reason subconsciously that I'm not aware of, and that's causing me to make a decision in this person's favor. Veloy, number two, veloy l'shabed b'yishol yosem in harishos. This is an incredible statement. David's the melech. A melech, whatever he says goes. David says, you know what? I need people to serve me. I'm the king. I need someone to make breakfast for me. When I walk into the room, I want people to stand up for me. Okay, you see the news? Our vice president is very, very upset lately. The news is because why? What's her complaint? When she walks into the room, they don't stand up for her. When Biden walks into the room, they stand up for Biden. But when she walks into the room, they don't stand up. Go read the news. I'm not making this up. She's very upset.
She's just okay.
What? They don't stand up for her. They don't have respect for her. Okay? A melech, you have to have respect. A melech, I want dinner on the table now. A melech has the right to melech poireit skedeh. A king is a dictator. You can take away, you can freeze people's bank accounts and make radin. You can do all these things, make radin. Dov is being misfalo that I should not abuse my power. Isn't that incredible? When you see a king, a head of state, have a Tehillim session to pray to Hashem that he should not be nichshol in abusing his power. Two things. David says, I am a dayan. That's how I spend my day. I am afraid that I should not decide in the halacha incorrectly. Number two, I should not abuse my power. Again, the Rashi. Tifaliteni me'riveon. Spare me from the quarrels of the people. Who are the people? The Jewish people. They come to me, to Mishpat. They have $1 million questions, or even a $1 question. Shaloi eonesh b'din Yisrael lahatos mishpat, to corrupt, to pervert the law. Number two, I should not abuse my power. V'lo l'shabed, to control, okay, to act with tyranny. Authority. How do you say the word? Tongue twister for me.
Authoritative.
To be too authoritative. The Yisrael, Yoyser min harishus, more than what I am permitted.
Authoritarian.
Should not be a tyrant. I should not take advantage of my position of power and abuse the citizens of the Jewish people. Tisimeni l'roish goyim, she'ein onesh bohem, appoint me to the rosh goyim, she'ein onesh bohem, that I should not be punished. I don't know what this means over here. I really don't know what this means. It seems something very biblical, something unfortunate. It means something very deep over here. She'ein onesh bohem. There is no punishment amongst them. Appoint me to the rosh of the goyim. I don't know. Let's see if the tag will stop. Pasuk and dalit. Tishay zivinani. Save me. Okay, this is that word again. This word always appears in all different. Deliver me. Deliver me from me. Palgusa. The Anamaya, from the division among the nation, doesn't really explain exactly what it means over here. It means the machlokes. It's not really clarifying what it means over here. Ti ri nani vi mezle mizayan. Now, what does this mean? You keep me by my destiny, a benefactor at the head of the Gentiles. Let's try to figure this out over here quickly. Okay, it means ti. Ti-ri-nani. What does that word mean? It means to be a benefactor, v'mezle mizayan, v'mezle mivayan. I'll tell you what it says over here in the translation over here. It says over here, you will keep me by my destiny, a benefactor at the head of the Gentiles. What does that mean? I have no idea what that means.
But you looked up too favorably because you're helping everybody else. You're feeding the world. Properly.
What's the word titrinani? What does that mean? Titrinani. What does that mean?
It should be the matriarch. The matriarch. I don't know.
The mezle mizayan.
Okay. Mezle is like mazal, right?
Okay. The benefit.
Make me into
the benefactor of the world. Make me b'mezle mizayan b'resh amamaya. Tisimeni l'roish goyim. There's something very deep going on over here. I don't know what this means. Let's maybe look over here very quickly. I prepared a little bit, but I obviously not enough. And we see the some idea. There's a chemis nach which is not relevant for this targum, at least does not appear. And the other mafarshim don't seem really to help us in understanding. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim men dalit tifalateni meri the am shem yamdu baale b'risam haboyim b'loriv b'ivam tifalateni miyadam. I do not know. This we will have to continue in Yirtz Hashem tomorrow. Okay, I'll take a short break. I want to talk about Parshas Parah. The Shabbos is Parshas Parah. Very short break. It's late. Parshas Parah. Talk about some of the important Sunday's parts.
Back to the